Good morning. I'm happy to be here today, and I sure hope you are too. There's been mentioned twice already about all the young people we have gone over in Dallas and a small crowd. But let me tell you, maybe we need to do a preacher count today because I see a great multitude of people who love God and have come to worship and praise His name. He's worthy of all of our praise. Amen?
Amen.
Have you ever had someone come and tell you something so good, so unexpected, so unprepared to hear, that your first reaction wasn't joy, but unbelief? Maybe you went to the doctor and you've had tests run, and he said, your tests were clear. Or maybe it was an adult child who left the family years ago, and all of a sudden one day they just showed up at your front door. Or maybe it was a bill you've been struggling to pay and someone anonymously paid it off. Or maybe someone forgave you of something that you thought was unforgivable. You know, sometimes good news can feel heavy when we've been living under bad news for so long. So, when we come to Jesus and we come to worship and praise His holy name, let's come with great expectations. You know, we talk about good news after living under bad news so long. Well, that's where the disciples were the morning of Jesus' resurrection. They weren't expecting victory. They wasn't expecting hope. They weren't expecting Jesus. They were expecting a sealed tomb and their Savior gone. Well, what were you expecting when you left and came to worship this morning? Were you expecting emptiness? Expecting disappointment? Expecting nothing to change? Did you come thinking, this is just an hour I have to sit through? Do we not expect anything anymore? Sometimes people come not expecting, not because they don't believe in God, because they are tired of expecting things to happen in their lives that never do. But God loves us. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to find joy in our lives. Sometimes expecting nothing is a whole lot easier than having hope and working after our God. But let me tell you what the good news, the upside-down, grace-filled news is that God is not limited by your expectations. You know, God is not intimidated by your emptiness. He's not disappointed by your disillusions. God loves you, and He forgives you every time you fail when you turn to Him. God often does His most transformative work in people who weren't expecting it. People who came expecting nothing, bringing nothing, and giving nothing. God has been able to totally turn around. It's Easter Sunday, and the world is thinking about the resurrection. Well, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We firmly believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And as we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ today, I want to take a little different approach. I want to talk about how Jesus' resurrection affects people. And I want us to begin with the resurrection speaks to people who feel defeated. Let's read Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. But on the first day of the week, at the early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He told you while He was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise? And they remembered His words. The women came to the tomb carrying spices, not faith. They came not to celebrate a resurrected Savior. They came expecting to complete a burial. They believed in Jesus. They loved Jesus. But they didn't expect Him to do the impossible. They came expecting to put the finishing touches on His departure. That's where many people are in their lives today. Oh, they pray, but they don't expect their prayers to be answered. Oh, they come to worship, but they don't expect to be joy-filled from it. Oh, they believe in God, but don't expect Him to act in their lives. Where are you? Are you defeated by what is going on? The resurrection meets people in their defeat. While the angels did not chastise the women, they didn't say, well, where is your faith? And they didn't say, why didn't you believe what He said? They said, why are you seeking the living among the dead? They said, you're looking for Jesus in the wrong place. Well, maybe you're looking for Jesus in the wrong place. Maybe you need to look up. For our Lord arose from the grave. God, and let me tell you something, God works in our lives. And maybe you need to look to see the good He is doing for you. You know, James, the half-brother of Jesus, says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow in turning. James says every good thing in our lives comes from God. And he says, coming down from the Father of lights. James points out that God is the Creator. He made the sun, moon, and stars. And he says, God doesn't change. There's no variation in God. He was the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He will be the same in the future. So when we look at things going on in our lives, let's see the good from God. And some people think, well, I worked hard for everything I have. I got it. Well, it was God who gave you the power to work. You remember in the book of Exodus 8:18, Moses told the children of Israel, and you will remember your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. So everything we have comes from the Lord God Almighty, and may His name be praised. So do you need to overcome the defeat in your life? Maybe you've had some major setbacks. Some major disappointments, some major things go on that never should have happened. But the resurrection of Jesus can lift you up out of that. It can make you victorious instead of defeated. Let's also notice that the resurrection speaks to people who feel discouraged. Back in Luke chapter 24, let's read verses 9 through 11. And returning, that is the women, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But when the apostles heard the words, they thought the women were speaking nonsense. They weren't believing what they were hearing. They said, oh, it's just old foolish women. What are they going on about? They didn't believe what was taking place. Who were these disciples? They were Jesus' apostles. They had been with Him for 3 long years during His public ministry. They had heard His preaching and His teaching. They had seen Him do miracles. Well, they had even seen Him raise Lazarus from the dead. And here they come with good news that He arose just like He said. And they think they're speaking nonsense. Well, do you ever doubt God? Do you ever doubt, is He really there? Do you ever doubt that He is hearing your prayers? Do you ever wonder where He is when things are going bad? Well, God, the resurrection of Jesus, is the answer to every doubt you have. Is God real? The tomb was empty. Does God care? The cross proves He does. Is there hope? Jesus is alive. I mean, our doubts can quickly be resolved when we look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, can God handle all of my doubts and questions? You remember the day of the resurrection? That evening, Jesus appeared to the apostles and the disciples who were behind locked doors. And only 10 of the apostles were there. Thomas was not with them. And later they saw Thomas and they told him they had seen the resurrected Lord. Do you remember how Thomas doubted? What did Thomas say? Unless I see the prints of the nails in his hands, unless I put my finger and touch those where the prints of the nails were, unless I put my hand in his side, I will never believe. How do you think Jesus responded to Thomas's doubting? Well, 8 days later, he appeared to them again. And Thomas was with them this time. And he invited Thomas to come touch his wounds and put his hand in his side. What did Jesus do? Jesus resolved Thomas's doubts and gave him the proof he needed to believe in his resurrection. God resolves our doubts. If we'll have faith and believe in Him and do His will. The resurrection doesn't answer every doubt. The resurrection is God's answer to every doubt. Excuse me, I said that backwards. The resurrection doesn't silence doubt. It transforms it. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, it gives me hope. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, I have a Lord and Savior who loves me. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, I know God is watching over me. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, I know I have a home prepared for me in heaven above where I will live for all eternity with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Isn't that where you want to spend your eternity? The alternative's not better by far. So the resurrection speaks to people who are defeated. It speaks to people who doubt. And the resurrection speaks to people who feel disqualified. Look back to Luke chapter 12, or Luke chapter 24, and let's read verse 12. It says, "But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened." Now, Luke doesn't cover it. But Mark's account, the angels tell the women, go tell his disciples, and he adds two very powerful words, and Peter. Why did the angels tell the women to specifically tell Peter that Jesus had risen from the dead? Well, who was Peter? He denied Jesus three times the night he was betrayed. When earlier he had vowed he would never deny his Lord. He would even go to death with him. And Jesus told him, this very night you will deny me three times before the cock crows. And he did exactly that. If they had said, go tell his disciples, Peter would have just thought, well, that's for everyone who believes. That's not for me. Peter would have thought, I've disqualified myself. I crossed a line that I can never uncross. Why did Jesus say, tell Peter? Because Jesus wanted Peter to know that through his resurrection, all sins are forgiven, including his. It doesn't matter how wicked a sin you may think you have committed, that God will never forgive, the resurrection proves that God forgives us. Jesus died while we were living in our sins. He died to save us from our sins. Jesus had Peter called out by name. Before the first sermon was ever preached, Jesus preached a sermon. And it was, you still matter. It was, I still want you to be my disciple. Sometimes in life we think we don't matter. Sometimes we think no one would ever miss me if I was gone. No one loves me. No one cares about what's going on in my life. I'm so alone and lonely I think I could die. But Jesus says, you still matter. He arose to save you. He arose so you could experience victory. Peter felt disqualified. But you know, the resurrection is more than just power. It's about grace. About the grace of God that is willing to cover your sin if you'll repent and turn to Him. It's about the grace of God that will overlook your past and your shortcomings. It's about the grace of God by which you are saved. Oh, the resurrection is not just about the power of Jesus being raised from the dead. It's God saying to you, your future is not canceled. Your calling has not been canceled because of what you've done. It's God saying to you, your past does not define your future. It's God saying to you, I will give you a new life, just like the new life of our resurrected Lord. The resurrection. Jesus walked out of the grave. And because He did, your shame does not have the last word. Jesus arose to save you, restore your relationship with God, to provide a way for you to have your sins forgiven. You may think you could never come to God because of how wicked you've been. Oh, but that's not what the resurrection teaches, because you still matter to God. The resurrection speaks to people who feel dead inside. The greatest miracle that ever occurred was the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It proved beyond a shadow of doubt that He was the Son of the living God. It proved that the grave had no hold on Him. It proved He had victory over death. But you know, just as exciting is that Jesus raises the dead in us, that Jesus can raise us from death. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul told the Christians at Ephesus, you were, before you came to Jesus, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He didn't say you were sick. He didn't say you weren't feeling well. He didn't say you were wounded. He said you were dead, D-E-A-D, dead outside of Christ. But we have hope because of Jesus' resurrection that we can live again when we come to Him. The resurrection of Jesus can raise you from the dead. Do you know it can revive dead hope? It can restart dead marriages. It can restore faith. It can replace sorrow with joy. It can regain purpose. The resurrection just was not an event. It is a power that brings dead things to life. And because of such, we have hope of all eternity. Jesus can bring you back. He can give you a new life. He can make you a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you will come to Him. Because the resurrection, as amazing and as wonderful it is, the resurrection demands a response. The resurrection demands that you come to Jesus. The resurrection demands you respond to it. You know, people reacted to it differently. The women at the tomb, they ran. When Peter heard it, he sprinted. When the apostles saw Jesus, they worshiped Him. When Thomas touched His wounds, he confessed, "My Lord and my God." The empty tomb calls upon you to believe again. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Believe that He has power to transform your lives. Believe that He can save you. Believe. The resurrection calls upon you to hope again. To have your faith restored. To give you hope of a glorious future. Regardless of how bad the world may be around you. Regardless of how bad your life may be. The empty tomb calls upon you to renew your hope. The empty tomb calls upon you to surrender again. Surrender your life to Him. Surrender your self-importance and put Him in first place. Surrender your desire to do what you want to do and put your desire and place it upon what God wants you to do. And the resurrection calls upon you to rise again. Just as Jesus rose from the dead, you can rise too. You rise up from dead faith. You rise up from not being faithful. You rise up and return to the Lord. You rise up and worship Him and praise Him and live according to the teachings of His truth every day, walking faithfully before God, standing heir of eternal life. Do you need to rise up today? Jesus is standing before you, calling you. If you have never become a Christian by being baptized, fully immersed in water, to have your sins washed away, to rise and walk in newness of life, why not be baptized today? If you're a Christian and you've been away from God, maybe you've let sin back in your life. Maybe you haven't been faithful. Do you need to rise up and be restored? Jesus is calling you to make your life right with Him. His resurrection speaks. Will you let it speak to you today? And will you respond to the front as we stand and sing?